to all the elders, ministers, deacons, ushers, my wife, and all the saints in their prospective places. We say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I don't want to be before you long. I always say that I wind up here longer than I planned on it. I really don't want to be before you long. But while I was, let me say this. Anyone heard of Eddie Munster? I think from maybe the Adams family or something. What does it have to do with it? Nothing to do with my message, but I am an Eddie James fan, so you can call me Eddie Monster, okay? And so, in Eddie James, you know, I like to listen to his music, like to watch their worship and things and all, so on YouTube. And probably a month ago or so, several of us went to the Eddie James concert. And I was touched. I was tremendously touched. And when I was on YouTube and I was looking at some of the songs and making sure I know my words for the songs I'm going to sing and things, amen, I came across the testimonies of these young men, and they played a little excerpt of it while we were at the Eddie James concert. So some of you have seen and know of the testimonies, but everyone doesn't. And I just started to watch the testimony and listen to both of them. And I only chose to bring one right now for the sake of time. So what we're going to do, we're going to watch this testimony together. And when I was watching the testimonies, it occurred to me that I should play this because the way God was leading me and I thought what he was saying, it just, this opened up another window, another avenue to what the message is on. Amen. And the message, I don't have a title, but the message, the overall of it is, I don't know all the answers. Right? You know, we ever run into those people, you know, people that just know everything. They know all the answers. They know how to fix your problems, know how to fix her problems, his problems, and everybody. They, you know, you have a question or whatever, or you just have a thought, and they just have an answer for everything. And, you know, those people that just know everything. You know, and this message, what is in this message is that I don't know. I don't know all the answers. You know, and I don't know how God's going to do it. But we can trust that if he spoke it, he shall bring it to pass. Amen? Amen. Amen. I don't know. You know, sometimes, is that ready? All right, we'll watch this and then I'll be back for you.
I got shit down so that I joined the state of my father. And on my birthday at 7 years old,
apologize for what happened. Difficulties, obviously the words weren't ringing, but almost going with one there. That's okay. We'll get into the Word of God, but I'll speak on with his testimony. He talked about how you all heard the part where he said, no one will tell him about God because people were too scared to tell him about God. You know, what he looked like, he was a gangbanger, and things of that nature. And he talked about how when he got out and his friend Wayne got out, that they had some kind of meeting, and they called Wayne to the meeting, and they called him to the meeting. And while Wayne was in it, that he spoke to his gang leaders and told them he no longer wants to be part of the gang. So y'all heard it with the gangs, it's blood in, blood out. You know, some gangs don't let you out, you know. And he told them that it's about God now. And so when he got out, and while he was in, he testified to this brother about God, and had him commit his life to God. And so they had a meeting, and he said they had several guns to the back of Wayne's head, and they told Wayne to denounce God. And he said Wayne took his flag out, threw it across, and said, "I live for Christ now." And they shot him in the head, several shots to the head, killed Wayne on the spot, he talks about. He's talking about how he was so scared. And he talked about, basically, he got to the point of desperation. And he said, "God, if you're real," he said, "you gotta let me know." He said, "If you're real, you have to show me, because I can't do this anymore, I can't take this anymore." He was talking about how he was getting shot at and things of that nature. And he said God revealed himself. But he said he didn't just stay in that. He said he ended up falling back away. And he got back into dangerous situations and getting shot at again. And he had that come to Jesus moment again. And he said at that point in his life, he really realized, he said at that point, he said just everything almost left him. And he said he realized that God is real and he's going to serve God. And he's running from God right now. But that's his testimony. And the other testimony that I wasn't going to play for you was about this. And remember, I said, if God wants it, if God said it, he's going to bring it to pass. Amen. And the other testimony was of a young man. And us as parents, we have to guard our household. We really have to guard our household. And this young man was talking about how he went to a friend's house for a party. And he was taken advantage of by several men. At a young age, he was like 11 years old. And he said he didn't understand it. He didn't understand himself. So as he came up, he was gay. He was confused. He was gay. And he just started to talk about how God delivered him from that. And for the sake of time, I was not going to play that one, but this is one that we were playing. It's very powerful if you get a chance to look at it, right? But the thing of it is they talked about how they became desperate. They didn't want religion anymore. They really wanted God. They became desperate for God. And let me, if I'm going to be honest real quick, you know, there's something, we know, we sit here and we pray and we preach and we talk and we testify that God can do anything. But if we're all going to keep it real, there's some things in our own heads and our own minds that we just don't see how God's going to do it. So we say we believe, but we really don't altogether believe. Amen. And for me, one of those things has been this gay movement that has begun. And for me, it's been hard to fathom how a guy who likes guys and acts feminine can turn back and all of a sudden, you know, be a man again, per se. And the same thing for later. I'm just being honest. It's just, for me, it's always been hard to realize. Amen. But in those testimonies, amen, it reminded me, amen, not just through those testimonies in the Word of God, but with those testimonies, it reminded me that God will do what he said he's going to do. And it's not up to us to try to figure out how. It's not up to us always to have the answers to all the questions, because the Bible admonishes us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate. Now in my finite mind, I try to figure out how am I gonna testify or witness to somebody who's gay, because I don't see how a guy who is feminine like that, how you turn back into being a man. I don't know. But it's not up to me to understand that. Amen. The thing is, if God said he could do it, he's gonna do it. Amen. But so the testimonies kind of opened up that other realm. But the realm where I was thinking God was leading me at the time was concerning, I know there's so many situations in our lives that are just too big for us. The doctors gave prognosis that this is the case and that this is going to be the case. And we really don't understand how God's gonna do it. Amen. And we try to figure it out because we're human, right? Amen. If we can all stand for the reading of the word, we're gonna go to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. We're just gonna read a couple verses in here for the scripture reading, and then we'll get into everything else. Jeremiah said, the 29th chapter, we're gonna read, and we know the scriptures. We're going to read verses 11 through 13 together. Amen. If we haven't, we can say amen. If we haven't heard, amen. Verse 11 reads, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. And the church says, the word of the Lord is blessed already. And the church says, praise the Lord. I like in that last part, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You know what that sounds like to me, church? It sounds like desperation. Amen. It sounds like desperation. When ye shall seek for me, search for me with all your heart, that's when you're going to find me. It's about desperation. Amen. And I'm afraid, say to God, that the church has gotten a lot comfortable. We've gotten very comfortable. And I'm not talking about anybody specific here, so if I say something, don't be offended, but I remember back in the day when I was growing up as a child, I remember when it was prayer time, I remember the men of the church used to line up on one side or both sides of the front pews, and it was just something for me as a young person watching the move of God, and how when we were closer together, amen, that energy would just start to carry. Now, I know, Pastor, you always say the music doesn't make a difference. And see, I grew up in a time where we got close together and we turned the music up and we just cried out and prostrated ourselves before the Lord. I'm afraid our young people haven't seen us cry out to the Lord the way we used to. I think we've just gotten a little too comfortable. I mean, I really wish, you know, I know we have it's air conditioning here, but we have air conditioning over there. I'm just being honest. I wish we could just go and section one of those things off and we could just get in there all tight and just cry out to the Lord. Amen. And just start to pray like we used to. You know, so bondage can be broken. There's so many things going on and we need chains to be broken and we need to be loose from these things. But I'm just afraid we, as a church, we just got it. As a people of God, not this church per se, but just as a people of God, we just got it too comfortable. Amen. The young people don't know what it means for us to just really cry out to God. So when they get to that situation where they don't know what's going to happen, they don't know how they're going to handle it, they don't know how to cry out to God because we're just so comfortable. Amen. We just got too used to things. Amen. And I think it's time that we get back to the old time when the way it was, if it worked then, it would work now. Hallelujah, because the blood still works. Amen. A lot of things about when she talked about shouting John. Amen. With shouting John, the square shouting John, shouting John went to this church. And this church wasn't used to praise in the way that he was used to praising. Hallelujah. This church wasn't used to just worship in the way he worshiped. So he came to church and he was like an oddball. In church, he was an oddball. And so a contingent came to shouting John to his house. Amen. And they were going to tell him that, hey, brother John, we don't do that in our church. We don't act like that in our church. We don't lose our minds and go crazy for the Lord in our church. We're too dignified. Amen. And with shouting John, he said, I can't get the story all right, but let me sum it up. You were there when God touched me.
Church in.
shouldn't be up here telling everybody that you gotta praise the Lord. Amen. Our praise should be so crazy that people should want to come in and just be a part of what's going on here. But we can't get past ourselves, number one, saints of God. We can't get past ourselves, and then we're just sitting there, we're just so dignified. And if we're not too dignified, we're licking our sword because we have so much going on. Is he worthy to be praised?
And he cried out to God, and he saw the angel of the Lord, and he wrestled, and he said, I'm not going to let you go.
until you bless me. That's called desperation, saints of God. See, when you get desperate, you'll do whatever you have to do. Ain't nothing stopping you. I don't care how short, how big you are, because another one I have down here is Brother Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. Amen. But he was so short and he couldn't get to Jesus because of the press. He wanted to see this Jesus that you heard about. So Brother Zacchaeus ran up and ran ahead of the crowd. Amen. And he jumped up in a tree. See, when you become desperate, you do whatever it takes. Amen. Because I gotta get to Jesus. It don't make a difference who's trying to stop me. I gotta get to Jesus. I need help. And I need help right now. Brother Zacchaeus ran ahead. In fact, I gotta turn to him because there's something powerful. Amen. And in that, it's Luke 19. Let's start with chapter. Look at chapter 1, Luke 19. Hallelujah. Yeah, there was something in here that just stood out. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So let's just start in verse 4 because we got the beginning of it. Verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste to come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Amen. And let's get to verse 9 because I like this right here. Amen. Brother Zacchaeus was desperate. He had to see his Jesus. Amen. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. This is why we need to get desperate. For that this day. Anybody need that this day? Anybody have anything in their lives going on that you need that this day? That's why when you start to become desperate, see, nothing's gonna stop you. No crowd, no people, no embarrassment, no nothing can stop you because you're in line for this day. You're in line for this day. Amen. But I jumped a little ahead of myself. I'm gonna just back up just for a quick second because this is important. Amen. Let me skip back to Brother Jacob real quick. With Brother Jacob, here's the thing. Let me tell you what happens after that. Brother Jacob, amen, him and his family get to Esau and they come upon him. It's a different greeting than it would have been. Amen. Because he wrestled with that angel. He said, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I need something. I need something, Lord. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Now, understand this. And saints of God, all understand this. Listen, the prognosis, the diagnosis is correct. It was absolutely correct that Esau was going to kill Brother Jacob. But because he showed that desperation and followed the angel and said, I need a blessing, I refuse to give up until I get that blessing. See, that greeting when he finally caught up to Esau would have been his death. But he got desperate. So what I want you to understand, and this is not to scare you, the diagnosis is correct. If the doctor told you you had cancer, it's 90% that you have cancer. That's all right, though. Amen. Because with Jesus on your side, you see, so understand, I'm not trying to scare you. Okay, when the doctor says 90% of the time, that's absolutely correct. But when Jesus is on your side, he changes the outcome. So a lot of times as people of God, we forget to just give crazy praise after it because it's like, oh, he didn't know what he's talking about. She didn't know what she was talking about in the first place. It was absolutely correct. But Jesus stepped in. Jesus stepped in. And that's why at the end of the day, it looks like the diagnosis wasn't correct. Do you get what I'm saying? So we are not to fear because Jesus is on our side. Amen. But he responds to a desperate people. Amen. He responds to a desperate people. And when we don't cry out to God, amen, a lot of times people meet what that diagnosis was. because they forgot about God. Amen. We're going to move forward. We're almost finished here. Amen. But can we just jump to Luke, the 18th chapter, real quick? We know the story. Again, we know the story. Luke 18, we're going to go to verse 35. Amen. And there's three different accounts of this. It's the blind man. Amen. Actually, the blind man and then blind men. We'll see in these other versions of this same story. Amen. In verse 35, it reads, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man," get a name on that this time, "just a certain blind man," this is Luke's account, "amen, sat by the wayside begging." 36, "and hearing the multitude pass by." See, I'm thinking there was a buzz in the air, right? Hearing the multitude, he's blind. So he heard a multitude pass by. Now, if a multitude is passing by and everyone wants to see Jesus, there's a little buzz in the air. Sometimes, you know, there's talk of something. And that's what I'm saying. Saints of God, when we come into the house of God, we got to give God crazy praise. We can't be the one night church because we want the people, when these windows open, we want the people to know, notice the buzz in the air. What are they going to see? Who are they going to see? Who are they going to hear about? Amen. Because we want them to come in and experience who Jesus is. Amen. So there was a certain buzz in the air. Amen. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more. They told him, "Shut up. It's not time for this. We don't act like that here. We act dignified here." Amen. I don't know what's going on with you, but listen, I don't act like that in my church. Amen. So you need to quiet down. See, but when you just don't care and you get desperate, amen, you've been dealing with something for too long. Amen. You've been dealing with the doctor's diagnosis for way too long. You've been dealing with strongholds for way too long. You've been dealing with generational curses for way too long. Amen. And you deliverance one time. And maybe it wasn't that because maybe we didn't do what we needed to do. Or maybe it's just, I don't know why. But you've been dealing with it for too long. Amen. Ain't nobody supposed to be able to stop you from getting to Jesus. Amen. And they try to shut you up. Amen. You just got to cry a little louder. Hallelujah. And it's not happening for you. Amen. Your deliverance is not coming soon enough. You got to worship and praise a little bit harder. Why? Because I'm praising.
And Jesus stood still and called them.
the scribe is the one blind man. We call him blind Bartimaeus. I like that account because whenever I can add a brother in front of somebody, like brother Mark, brother Peter, brother Bartimaeus, amen, like brother Deacon, brother Elder, whenever I can add a brother in front, it feels good. That's right. But that's his account. It's the same story. But brother Bartimaeus, he described him. So I don't know if he yelled a little louder than the other blind man, because Matthew's account said there was two of them. But in his account right here, he's saying he describes just the one. Amen. But I just wanted to point that out. But here's the last place we're going to go. And we know the story. And Sister First Lady, aka Mom, I'm not stealing your thunder, because they had this when she spoke at a conference, and she spoke on, remember the conference? You spoke on, the one with the issue of blood, I apologize. Amen. So you wake up, Sister First Lady. Matthew, we're going to go to Matthew, the ninth chapter. Amen. I'm not stealing your thunder. It was impressed upon me. Because there's something with it, like it. Matthew, the ninth chapter. We're almost finished. Let's go to verse 18. And we know the story again. This is the woman with the issue of blood. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. That's what was going on before this next thing happens with the woman with the issue of blood. So a ruler had already came to Jesus because his daughter died. He wanted Jesus to come lay hands on her. Amen. Because he said, I know if you lay hands on her, she will recover. So while this is happening, see, when you become desperate, it don't make a difference who's in your way. It doesn't make a difference.
We're going to go to verse 35 and 36.
watched, I don't mean to say watch this, but, all right. So listen, verse 35, can we read this together? And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, of Jesus we're talking about, right? They sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garments. And listen, what? And as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. See, we always read the story about the woman with the issue of blood, but there was a lot more people that just believed in God to the hill. They said, Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for that testimony, sister. Amen. Sister, I thank you for your testimony of power. I thank you for your testimony. But there's more power there. There's more power in the hill. And I thank God that the power didn't go out. Amen. When the woman with the issue of blood touched her. So if you have anything going on in your body, if you have bonds that need to be broken, let's leave it at the altar. Let's get to the hill of his garment. Why? Because there's more power in the hill. Hallelujah. Saints of God, we can become desperate. We need to become desperate. Let's stop worrying about what people might think about us. Let's stop worrying about trying to look good. Sing a little bit of this. And if you know it, just sing along. Don't grab your mic, just sing when this is the end. Turn up, please. This is the end.